1 Corinthians 12:12, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, it is therefore not of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now there are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no a schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I would ask, Lord, that you'd help us to understand a little bit more about the local assembly and about your assembling of the local assembly. Lord, may we have maybe leave here tonight with just a little bit more of an ability and a willingness to cherish in our hearts one another, and Lord, maybe to understand and see with fresh eyes the value of each other. We pray in Jesus' name, amen, and you may be seated. Now, I believe this, and I'm going to say it, and we're going to teach it in this fashion. I'm certainly of an understanding that when a person is born again, they are born into the body of Jesus Christ. I understand that all of the Christians of all of the world comprise the body of Christ. This entire letter, though, is written to a local assembly. The application of what he's teaching here is to help this local assembly to have an appreciation for each other in that assembly. So we're certainly not wrong. I think we're on target to take everything that we teach here and to understand that it can be applied right here to Blessed Hope Baptist Church, Jasonville, Indiana. A quarter mile south of State Road 48 on Highway 59, us right here. That'll be good for us. Now, this is a wonderful analogy. You know, one of the things that God does in the Bible is give illustrations. Sunday school teachers, as you're teaching, don't fail to include some illustrations. Something about stories that help bring out a truth. Just help our human minds, number one, seems to recapture our attention, help us to listen better. But number two, it helps us to have a light of understanding come on. Jesus understood this. He was a great storyteller, used parables, common everyday stories of things people were familiar with, to be able to convey some wonderful and oftentimes complex Bible truths in a simple manner. As one preacher said, Jesus put the jelly on the bottom shelf where everybody could get to it. And as you're preparing your lessons, use illustrations, use stories, give them something so that they can relate the truth to something they're familiar with. Now, the one thing that was common about every single member of this church was this: if they were alive, they were in a body. And so this is something everybody there could relate to. And so the Lord leads Paul here by inspiration to try to liken the general assembly, the local church, to a human body. And let him by that to understand that the diverseness and the differences and the different gifts that we've already covered in the first 11 verses, that all of these are placed very specifically by God into the assembly. Verse number 12, "For as the body is one..." By the way, verses 12 and 13 teach us that all Christians together comprise the body of Christ. "For the body is one and hath many members." That's just a fact. He's saying, look at your body, It's one body, but look at all of the different parts, all of the different members of that body. And all the members of that one body, being many, are one body. He said, now, you know what? I'm going to remind you this also. The finger can't just decide it's going to jump off, run off, and be its own person. It's put there to be a part of the body, to be a part of the body. And then so also is Christ. For by one Spirit, that's capital S, Holy Spirit, are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Now, verse 12 tells us that all of the members, all of the children of God, are members of the body of Christ. And we were allowed to become that when we were born into the family of God by the Spirit of God, and we then become part of the body of Christ. And so the analogy is introduced here. He says, I'm going to talk to you about some, help you fix some of your church problems, he said, by likening, get this in your mind, likening the members, all of the different members, all the different people that are at the First Baptist Church there in Corinth. And I'm going to get you all to look at this thing and understand that you're different and you're diverse and you have various gifts, but you all make up a local assembly or a local body of believers. Now, let's look at verse 14 and begin to teach on down. Verse 14 through 20, it sells us on the idea that the body is comprised of many members, but it is just one body. Verse 14, for the body is not one member, but many. So it's one body, many members. One body, many members. Okay, verse 15. Now, he begins to deal with this. Now, I want you, as we're talking about foots, your foot talking to your hand, your ear talking to your eye, you kind of liken this to the assembly. This is somebody that has a certain gift talking to somebody that has a different gift and is carrying out a different function. I don't need you. We don't need you here. You know why? Because you don't do what I do. Well, we don't need everybody doing the same thing. We need folks being able to do a whole variety of different things. And that's how a local assembly works. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? The answer to that, of course, is no. If the foot were able to say this, I've always thought that's interesting. If the foot could talk, then maybe the foot would be the mouth. I'm really confused right now. But if the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Well, of course, that's an obvious answer, rhetorical question. He knew the answer when he asked it. If the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? So he says, you know what? Just because this part is different than this part, it doesn't make this one part any more or less than the body of Christ than this part. And then he goes on and reinforces that idea with kind of something very absurd here. Verse number 17, if the whole body were an eye, that'd be interesting. Can you imagine? Here comes somebody into the door, and it's just a big eyeball. Here it comes rolling in the door, rolling up the aisle, and everybody would say, that's different. That's strange. That's something very mutated about this person. They're just one huge eyeball. And no, that wouldn't probably be a good way to live. You might be able to see things very clearly, but you wouldn't be able to think about the things that you see. You wouldn't be able to act upon the things that you see. You'd just kind of be rolling around seeing everything. And so there's just not much good in that. If the whole body were the eye, then where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? So here, after the eye comes rolling in, here comes the ear, and it's bouncing into the door. And it hears everything, but it can't think about what it hears, and it can't see what it's hearing, and it can't do anything about what it's hearing. Well, that kind of makes for an odd situation. And then when it starts talking about the smelling, I really have a hard time seeing the big nose walk in here. And, I mean, can you imagine this huge nose walking in the door, especially if it's got a cold? Can you imagine the mess it would make on the carpet and the terrible, terrible problem our cleaning ladies would have trying to clean up after that nose. And, you know, it's interesting. We're laughing, but it's almost like Paul on purpose is trying to paint this ridiculous picture and saying to some members of the church who are gifted with a certain gift and are hypercritical of everybody that does not have the same gift that they have, saying, hey, dummy. If all of your members were the same, you'd be a freak. You'd be useless. You know, you would not be the wonderful creature. We are wonderfully and fearfully made. That's what the Bible says. Can I say this? The local assembly is wonderfully and fearfully made. It really is. I'm going to tell you, I think I appreciate it more as I've become the senior pastor and the oversight of the church. I will tell you that I just sometimes lean back in wonderment at the unseen hand of God placing into a church the people that He's placed into the Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And honestly, folks, if we tried to plan it, we couldn't have planned it. If I said, okay, you get to travel around America for a year, Brother Jeff, and I want you to handpick out of every assembly out there and you bring the perfect church here, you couldn't do it better than God did it. And it wouldn't be what this church needs to be. And it wouldn't be as good as this church needs. You know, there's not a man that can do it better than God can do it. Now, every once in a while, we're going to get to this, because Paul had to deal with a few members in that church that thought they could do it better than God could do it. Decided that some people were worth less than others. Some people were expendable. Some people were unneeded and unnecessary. And for different reasons. And those reasons are lifted. And Paul listed. And Paul is trying to correct that thinking as he kind of takes us down this imaginary, insane road we went down a minute ago, where he began to imagine if the eye were the whole body, or if the ear was the whole body, if the nose were the whole body. Verse 18, but now, this is wonderful, but now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased Him. Now, listen, folks, let me say this very practically, and I want to help some of you young ladies, young men, and I'm going to help some of you that are even older. I'm going to tell you something. There's way too much pressure in this culture, too much importance, too much emphasis placed on looks. I'm just going to tell you that right now. Nonsense. That girl's pretty, that girl's not. I'm going to tell you what, I've been out preaching in our chapel, Blessed Hope Baptist School, looked out there. Every single young lady in our school is a beautiful young lady. Every single one of them is a beautiful. You know why? Because God don't make junk. Get off this stuff. I'm going to tell you, we live in such a warped world. We really do. We live in such a warped world. But the Bible says here, God has set the mirror. I don't know if I like the way my nose look and my ears and my... who are you criticizing? You're not criticizing you. You're criticizing the Lord God Almighty, the creator of the universe, that made you the way He made you. Now stop criticizing His handiwork. He made you to look a certain way. He wanted you to look that way. And you know what? You ought to glorify God and thank Him. And don't let the culture pressure you to this idea that, you know what, this is beautiful and this isn't. This is handsome and this not. This isn't. That's a bunch of hogwash. And I'm going to tell you something right now. Pretty is pretty does. I think that's what Grandma taught us when we were little kids. Pretty is pretty does. The honest truth is, you know what? You got the glow of Jesus Christ. There's a blessed anointing of the Holy Spirit of God, and a purity and a desire to serve God. That affects your countenance in such a way that no outward, listen, no makeup can paint on that type of appearance. It's a wonderful thing just to see young people that have a heart for God and a love for God, and they just shine. They just shine. And so, amen. Now, but we say that about the human body, but then sometimes we don't want to believe it about the body of Christ. And we want to start picking about some of the members there, how what God should have done different, or the ones that are not necessary, and the ones that are necessary, and the ones that should be different. Notice this, but now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased who? Well, he didn't care whether or not it pleased you. Didn't care whether or not it pleased me. He said, I'm going to do it the way I want to do it, and I'm going to put the people there I want to put there. And then he's going to try to teach us to understand and value the wisdom of God in what he has done. In what he has done. So notice verse 21. And the Bible says, and the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Well, that would be foolish. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of thee. Now, we're going to talk in a few minutes about some of the members that were coming under criticism. There's really three types of members that sometimes were being looked down upon or criticized in the Church of Corinth. These three are listed as the feeble member, the less honorable member, and the uncomely member. And some of the church members were thinking that some of them were not necessary, that they weren't important, that they were expendable, didn't see the importance of them. And because somebody who was strong and blessed with strength sometimes was looking down at someone who was feeble and said, you know what, they're just not much good to our church. And someone who was honorable looked down at somebody who's less honorable and say, well, you know what, they're just not as important. And so if they left, it wouldn't be a big deal, all right? If you are of that opinion, meet me after church in the office. I brought a big meat cleaver with me. And I want to give it to you. And I want you to decide which one of your members of your body just aren't that important. Come on now. I mean, your little finger's not nearly as strong as your index finger. So you don't need that. Just put it on the table and whack it off. I mean, it's expendable. Well, you wouldn't do that to your body, but you'd do that to the body of Christ. You wouldn't have that attitude. I mean, do something stupid like cut your big toe off. Go ahead. Go ahead and decide that that's not an important part of your body. You know what you'll find out? That, boy, you're going to miss it real quick. You're going to miss it real quick. And you're going to miss it for some time. You say, well, now, Brother Jerry, come on. You can get rid of parts of your body and live. You're a living example of that. Yes, unfortunately I am. But let me say this. I don't care how seemingly unimportant a part of your body is. If you lose it, you know what? You're going to find out that it was there for a reason. I'm kidding. I'll let some of you know that don't know. But when I was in between my junior and senior year of high school, I was mowing a yard and I was backing up with a lawnmower. Don't ever do that. Please don't ever do that. I mean, I have stopped my car on the side of the road and got after kids that are out there mowing in the yard. And they mow like this and then they want to pull it, turn over like this and walk backwards with the mower like that. That's exactly what I was doing when I tripped and fell and pulled the mower over my foot. You say, well, you should have let go. Well, now you tell me. Where were you when I really needed you? You know, Mr. Know-it-all. Why weren't you there that day? You could have said, let go! But you weren't there, so I didn't let go. And so if you're going to pull it backwards, then go like this and pull it back like this and watch where you're walking. Or better yet, just turn it around and keep going forward. But don't do that. And I was doing that, tripped and fell, and got my foot underneath the mower and whack! There went my big toe. Just cut her off. Just cut it right off there. And you say, well, that's not a big deal. Well, do you have both of your big toes? Well, you're not much of an authority on it, then. Why don't you listen to somebody that's done something stupid, and I can teach you something here, all right? Well, and you know what? The doctor, I had such an encouraging doctor. He walked in, and right after surgery, he started telling me, he said, you know, you're never going to be able to walk without a limp. And I'm looking at him going, you want to bet? You know, you don't want to tell a 17-year-old kid they can't do something. I'm just telling you right now, you know, I'm sitting there thinking, I will too. And he said, oh, you like sports? Yeah, well, you probably won't be able to play basketball. I'm thinking, I will too. And you know what? I don't walk with a limp, and I play basketball. And you say, well, see, preacher, it doesn't matter. Yeah, well, you know what? It may not seem to matter in every area, but you know what? There's some things that I couldn't do after that. I used to run some long distances, and I would do that just for fun, and I used to be able to run a couple miles. It wouldn't bother me. After I got my foot healed up and I could start running again, I started running, and if I ran longer than a mile, this is the weirdest thing. If I ran for longer than a mile, I'm talking about not flat sprint, just, you know, running, my left hip would begin to hurt and cause me a lot of pain. And I couldn't figure out why all of a sudden I couldn't run long distances without my hip hurting. I got to talking to the doctor about it, and he said that, you know, you don't walk with a limp, and he said your body has kind of subconsciously made adjustments, but he said what you don't realize is to compensate, he said you roll your weight just a little bit on the outside of your foot because you don't have that big toe to have the inward balance. And he said when you do that, and the foot's not made to work that way, he said it's not going to bother you walking around. It's not going to bother you if you run shorter distances. But if you go running long distances and you do it consistently, it's going to start hurting this area. Now, wait a minute. You know what my hip was telling me? My hip was telling me is, hey, dummy, we could have really used that big toe. You know, Mister, I'll play basketball, and it isn't going to change me, and I'm going to do what I always. By the way, you don't think it's you think it's easy, but you stand barefooted without a big toe, or with just a pair of socks on, and it's no big deal putting this shoe on because I have all of those toes. But if you stand here like this, try to put this. I have a little trouble doing it now. Try to balance on that foot. I have a hard time lifting my foot up. I have to sit down like an old man and put my shoe on. And you say, well, that's not a big deal. Well, wait a minute. Let me ask you this. Is the body functioning to maximum capacity? Am I limited in some areas in doing what I couldn't have done for Christ? What I'm saying to everybody in here is we need you. And God put you here for a reason. And everybody's, I'm saying to every other member, don't ever look around at the membership and say, well, I just don't see what to be. I don't know if we really need them. I don't know how important they are. Because every member is placed here by God. Every member has a function. Everyone is needed. And we need each other. We need to realize that. We need each other. And I want to cover these three members and talk to you a little bit about them. It says, verse number 22, nay, much more, but those members of the body, and I like this little phrase, you probably ought to underline that, which seem to be. You know, folks, sometimes looking at things with carnal eyes and thinking of things with a carnal mind, we may come to some conclusions that just are not accurate. Which seem to be. In other words, from an earthly standpoint, some things might seem to be, but God looks down from heaven and he sees something different. And God doesn't make mistakes. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Now, here's what a human being might look and see about a member. They're feeble. And by the way, that word feeble means strengthless, impotent, sick, without much strength. Weaker or a weakness or a weak thing. And you may look at somebody and say, you know what, when we have a work day, they're not able to come help. Boy, they're just not much good. And you know what, it's all they can do to just get in here and get back. And you know what, and when we do this, they can't come. And when they do this, that can't come. I'll tell you what we need is some strong members. No, we need strong members and we need feeble members. Because God, we may look at them and say, they seem to be unnecessary, but God says, I'm telling you, they are necessary. Amen. They are necessary. And so we have somebody that maybe physically doesn't have strength, maybe spiritually don't have a whole lot of strength. And you say, well, Brother Jerry, you know what? They're just not very grown. They're not very advanced. They don't have a strong Baptist background. They're confused on some doctrines. They just don't have some strength in some of their convictions and some of their... So let's just get rid... No, let's not. Let's just trust the Lord. Let's just understand that probably if you'd rewind your life, there was a time you were pretty close to where they're at. And somebody was patient with you, and somebody loved you, and somebody discipled you, and somebody helped you. And by the way, if you haven't checked lately, you're not Jesus Christ yet, and you haven't reached sinless perfection yet. So you may not feel as if they're important, but God says that they are necessary to the body. Now this next one, verse 23, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable. But if you look up that word honorable, it means it's talking about value. It literally is talking about money paid or a collection or valuables. So we have, first of all, somebody who is strengthless or doesn't have a lot of strength, whether that's physical or spiritual strength, emotional strength sometimes. And, I don't know. They just don't seem to do the assembly much good. And God says they're necessary. They're necessary. I put them there for a reason. They're necessary. And then we have some of the less honorable. You know what? Sometimes, boy, I'm going to tell you something. I detest this. I mean, you want to see your preacher just blow up like a volcano. I cannot stand. And I've visited churches like this. I don't have any patience with them. Well, if somebody walks in the door and they've got a lot of money, boy, well, let's roll out the red carpet. But if somebody walks in the door and they look like, you know what, they're wearing hand-me-downs and they don't have very new this and very new that, and you know what, that's not really a good fit for our church. Shame on you. By the way, it's not your church. It's Christ's church. And if he send them to you, you ought to realize that they're a gift from God and they're valuable. And I'm going to get to this in a minute, but let me just go ahead and say this now. You know, the thing about it is, what you better understand is that the same person, you can be both strong and feeble in the course of your life. Just because you're strong now don't mean you'll always be strong. You may be able to give and you may be blessed, but that doesn't mean you will be in 10 years. What I'm saying is you don't know and I don't know. I'd hate to think that I go to a church where as long as you're physically strong and spiritually strong, you're valuable. If you're not, you're not. As long as you've got money and you can give big offerings, then you're valuable. And if you don't, you're not. I wouldn't want to be a member of that church. I wouldn't want to be a member of that. I wouldn't want to have anything to do with a church like that. And that's not what God says here. The word comely here is, I like this. This will help you Greene County people, you know, as if I'm not one. This will help you Greene County people. But uncomely means inelegant. Look it up. Inelegant. Not elegant. That certainly does not, I think, describe hardly any man in this church. Elegant. But inelegant may define a lot of us. Unrefined. Undignified. Well, preacher, some of the people that come in here, oh, I'll tell you what. I just don't know. You know, some of the ways some of the people act. Oh, my goodness sakes. I'll tell you what. Maybe if we give them the cold shoulder enough, they'll go, well, shame on you. Shame on you. I mean it. Shame on you. And the Bible says, you know what? Okay. Now, let me just quickly say this, folks. We need members in our church who are strong, who are financially blessed, and who are refined and dignified. This portion of Scripture is not given to provide an ideal resume for all church members. But what it is saying is this. If you are strong, don't cast stones at the feeble. If you are blessed, don't cast stones at the ones that come in with the widow's mite. If you are have advanced in some areas of your life and you've learned some dignity and refinement, that's fine. But don't you dare look down your eyes at somebody that would get saved in our church. And maybe, you know what, they slaughter the king's English, and sometimes they're a little on the loud side, and sometimes they're maybe. Let me tell you what I love, and I'll tell you this: when I pray on Sunday mornings, and I get done praying right before the message, I always say, you know what I'm going to say. I'll say, in Jesus' name, and there's a young man that sits right up here. What's his name? Somebody tell me. What is it? Anthony. I love Anthony, man. And when I'm praying, when I get done, he says, I'll say, in Jesus' name. He'll say, amen. And then he always says what? Amen. You may be seated. He says that part with me. You may not hear it. But he always says, in Jesus' name, amen, you may be seated. As I'm saying it, he'll say the exact same thing. Now, some of you that sit back in the back don't hear it. Some of you that are half deaf, you know, don't hear it. I'm lucky I still hear it, but that he does. He doesn't just say, in Jesus' name, amen, when I say, you may be seated. He always says, you may be seated. Now you say, oh, Brother Jerry, I'm glad you brought that up. That just annoys me to death. Somebody needs to talk to that guy. You leave that guy alone. I said, you leave him alone. Well, Brother Jerry, that's just not very... What are visitors going to think? Well, they might think that we love people. They might think, well, what do you know? A church where a young man that obviously was born with some mental deficiencies and you know what? But he's welcome here and he sets up here and the preacher loves him and the people love him and thank God for him. Thank God for him. Well, Brother Jerry, I just don't know if we need those kind of people. Well, I'm telling you right now, we need them. They are necessary. They're a blessing to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I got to look around here and be careful because I'm going to make somebody mad. And I don't want to make you mad. And I'm not being mean and cruel, I promise you. But kind of the standing joke between me and my wife is this. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. Retarded people love me. They really do. Now, Brother Joe, you can say it if you'd like to now. You withheld last week. I was talking about how weird my friends were, and he called me on the phone the next day, and he said, hey, when you were talking about how in college you had all those weird friends, he said I was going to yell out, birds of a feather. But he said it now. So here, I mean, weird people, I got weird friends, and retarded people love me. And I'm not kidding you. I mean, me and my wife go places. We'll go to visit a church or to preach at a church, and they'll have a couple of people that, you know, a couple of French fries short of a happy meal, and they look over, and for whatever reason, they come and they just love us. We sat at a banquet one time over at Kevin Albert's church, and we went and got our food and sat down, and Brother Kevin and Sister Patty were getting their food and getting ready to come sit with us, and a retarded boy come over and sat down beside me, and a retarded girl come and sat beside Cheryl, and I thought, here's the four retards sitting together, you know, and And I always wondered about that. And I thought to myself, well, what is it about that? You know, what, I'm kind of do some self-examination here. What, you know, what is it about me that makes it so retarded people love me? And, when I started dating Cheryl, and when first couple times I went up to her house, she had a little brother, Todd, that was both mentally and physically handicapped. And if you've never, listen, I'm not upset with you. If you've never been around that type of a person, I understand that might be a little bit uncomfortable for you. And it was for me. I'm telling you the truth. I'm being transparent. Honestly, the first few times I was around him, I didn't know how to act. I didn't know whether to stare, not stare, what was right to do, what was wrong to do. You know, I didn't want to offend anybody. And you just kind of, you know, you're uneasy because you're not used to that. But as I acclimated into the family and I spent more time around him, I just learned to love him for who he was, and I learned how to communicate with him. And somebody that's used to being around somebody like that, you know what? When we see people like that, we don't stare. We smile, and we always acknowledge them, and we treat them. We don't think that much different about them. And you know what? The honest truth is, so few people do that in their lives that when you just make eye contact across the room and you smile at them, so few times does that happen that they immediately say, here's somebody that understands me. Here's somebody that cares about me. Here's somebody that treats me like my mommy does or my daddy does or my family does. And I think that's listen, I hope, folks, that you develop that same skill with every single person that comes into this church. I'm not talking about just people with mental deficiencies. I'm not talking about people with physical. I'm talking about people of different personalities, different backgrounds. You know, folks, listen to me. We've got to be conscious. And sometimes we just do it because of our own insecurities. It really is. But grow to the point where you just look at whoever walks in that door and just learn to love them and smile at them and treat them. And you know what? Because folks that are a little bit different, because of the fact that they finally come somewhere where they're treated that way, they tend to just come like a magnet. And that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. God has gifted our church. I love hearing J.K. sing. He may drive you crazy, and I know he doesn't say but about one word every verse, but I know he doesn't hit hardly any of the notes, but I'm going to tell you, I wish I could get somebody to sing with as much enthusiasm and excitement. Well, Brother Jerry, I just don't know if that's good for the assembly. You're not the one that makes those decisions. God makes those decisions. I want to take you back and I want to show you something because I really do want to help somebody. I'm not upset with you. But if, and some of you think that you're doing it, or maybe in the past you thought you're doing it, go to the 3rd John. 3rd John. Go ahead and turn back there. 3rd John. I want to warn you of something, folks, because if we're not careful, boy, Independent Fundamental Baptist, and I'm one of them and I love them, I wouldn't be anything else. But if we are not careful, we get this kind of cookie cutter mentality, and we almost get this in our mind that there's certain people that are a good fit here, and there's a certain people that would make a good member here, and there's certain people that would not. And we kind of stand there at the back door, and we look around when visitors come, and in our minds we're trying to decide who's worthy and who's not. That's hogwash. That's devilish. That's wicked. That stinks of pride. That stinks of haughtiness. What in the world? Hello? Where did that come from? And you say, well, Brother Jerry, I'm just trying to protect the assembly. You don't have to protect the assembly. You just need to learn to love people. You know what? God's smart enough to know who we need and who needs to be here and who's not here. We don't need your help in deciding to weed out the undesirables. Or the people that don't meet up to whatever high standard you've set. Now, I want you to notice, you've heard about the man Diotrephes, and we do understand in verse 9, John rebukes him. I wrote unto the church by Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Well, wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith. Neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Where did all this come from? Pride, a desire to set a preeminence. If you're not careful, folks, we can. I've met them. They're in some Independent Fundamental Baptist churches. They got their little miniature checklist, their little miniature handbook, and they measure a body up. And you know what? You'd be good, you wouldn't. And I'll tell you what, I'll come and I'll influence, I'll make you feel welcome, and I'll just, you know, my goodness sakes, just make over your family. But that family, let's just kind of ignore them, and if none of us shake their hands, maybe they'll go, well, that is wicked. That's wicked. It is. Okay? You know what it makes me think of? All right. Forgive me. I was in my office thinking about this, and we, in the history of Blessed Hope Baptist School, and you probably won't know who I'm talking about, but some of you will know who I'm talking about, but I used to see it in the public school. I saw it occasionally in our Christian school, but every once in a while, you'll get in your school, a school somewhere, you'll get a little diva, okay, a little diva with a cheerleader's mentality, okay, and she's prettier, at least she thinks she is, and she's stylish, or at least thinks she is, and she wears her hair a certain way, and it's just so, and so what she likes to do is she likes to kind of go around, and what she wants to do is handpick pretty girls, handpick and get a little group of us pretties. And we're the popular and we're the pretty group. And let's not talk to her. And let's not talk to, you know what? That's kind of what you remind me of. Hello. Now you don't have an ounce of patience for that kind of a young lady. Or you shouldn't have. But you want to be that kind of a church member? You know, shame on you. I don't think that we've got a problem here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, but I really think that we better understand, folks. You know what? God's going to send into our assembly some who are feeble. But you know what? The Bible says they're necessary. God said, you don't think they are, but I know they're necessary. I happen to think that Mrs. Vessel's necessary. Are you getting it? I happen to think Mrs. Townsley's necessary. And I know that they can't do what they once did. And I know that they struggle just to get through some days. But you know what? There's not one man in his strength here that is any more important than the ladies I've mentioned. There's not a one of us that's any more important than J.K. in Blessed Oak Baptist Church. And I don't just say that. I mean it from the depth of my heart. And understand, less honorable. Yeah, amen. But the Bible says this. What does God say about these groups? And we can go back to 1 Corinthians. What does God say about these groups? I'll tell you what he says. He says the feeble are necessary. He says the less honorable give us an opportunity to bestow some on their behalf. You know what? If there's somebody that comes, and obviously they're doing the best they can, but they can't give a whole lot, you know what? I look around and see them and say, you know what? God's blessed me. I'll just give a little extra for them. Amen. That's the kind of mentality God wants. Hey, listen, if somebody's a little bit weak and I have a little extra strength, I'll lend them my strength. If you know what, somebody's not been as blessed and I've been a little overly blessed, then I'll lend my blessings. Are you getting this? And then it goes on to say uncomely. Gives us an opportunity to balance their lack. You say, well, I don't know about some undignified people. Well, maybe you just have to learn to be just a little more dignified so you can balance out the rest of us. Amen. But you know what? I would have to say this as far as that in elegance and what is the other one? Unrefined and undignified. Honestly, folks, people that are this way pretty much make up our assembly. So nobody in that category ought to really feel that persecuted, because I don't know, there's not too many of us that are too refined around here. Feeble, less honorable, and uncomely. And the church of Corinth was treating these people as if they were some type of an appendage or a member that they could just take the old meat cleaver off and chop off, and that won't affect us. And we, matter of fact, we'll be better. Okay, then go run 2 miles and tell me if you're better after you lose what you thought you didn't need. Okay, and so God knows what He's doing. God knows what He's doing. Let's look at verse 25. And we'll finish down. Why does God teach us this? Look at verse 24. I love verse 24. For our comely parts have no need. But God had tempered the body together. That word tempered, there's a wonderful word. It means to combine or assimilate or mix, temper together. It's almost like God's trying to make something like you ladies that are in your kitchen and you're putting together and you're getting ready to bake a cake. And I'm going to tell you, if all of the ingredients were laying there, there's very few of them sometimes that resemble a cake or look like they should have any importance of making a cake taste like it's supposed to. But you leave some of them out and find out that cake's not very good. And God said, let me mix. Let me be in control of the mixer. Let me be in control of the ingredients. Just learn to love each other. Just learn to accept each other. Just understand, I'm not going to send you somebody that's not valuable in some way. And I think that when we get to heaven one of these days, we're going to find out some of the people that maybe are the ones that I point out tonight. They added something to our church that our church would never have been if they were not here. They just have. Verse 25 says this. It says that there should be no schism in the body. That's talking about a division. God, why does God want us to know this, preacher? He doesn't want there to be divisions in the body. He don't want there to be a haughty attitude where some member thinks that another one's not important or not worthy or shouldn't be here. Why else did he teach us this? So we can learn to have the same care one for another. And then why does he want us to know this? Verse 26, so we understand that when one suffers, we all suffer. When one is honored, we all rejoice. And pretty soon, you know what? It's not just, Blessed Hope Baptist Church or the group that I like at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Pretty soon it's just, you know what? You walk in here and it's just family. Come on, folks. You all have family. When's the last time you went to your family reunion? I hope you can make it, and I hope you do make it. I really mean that. Well, Brother Jerry, I come from a lost group of... Still, you ought to try if you possibly can. If you don't have to compromise, you ought to try to go. But go to a family reunion. Good night. You're going to look around and see everything. You're going to say, I'm related to them? But let me tell you what. Bottom line is, you're family. You're all family. When I look around Blessed Hope Baptist Church, you know what I see? I see family. That's what I see, family. Yeah. There's a few nuts on the tree, amen. I'm one of them, amen. Like the head nut around here, you know, yeah. Yeah, you say, Brother Jerry, so-and-so is crazy. I know, aren't you glad that she's in our church? I mean, every church needs a little crazy. Amen, you know, I'm a little crazy sometimes. Y'all make me a little crazy sometimes. You know what? Just love each other. Just love each other. Now, the Bible says this, we're done. Verse 27, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. It's almost like this crowning last verse. God just says, hey, you know what? Just like an artist would take a dab of this color and a dab of this color and blend them together and mold them. And you know, even for a while, it may look like a mess. But next thing you know, you look over the shoulder and there's a beautiful picture. Just like sometimes you might come behind somebody and all you see is a bunch of disjointed pieces. But you know, in the master's hand, the pieces begin to come together. And what just looked like a bunch of disorganized mess, next thing you know, the puzzle goes together and there's a beautiful picture there. You know what? I feel like that God in heaven at Blessed Hope Baptist Church over the years has just taken pieces of the puzzle and said, here. Pieces of the puzzle and said, here. Pieces of the puzzle and said, here. You know what? That piece that he just put in is not going to look like you. It's not going to look like some other pieces around here. But you know what? Just let God put them in there and realize we need everybody. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we would ask, Lord, your help. Please help us to view this in the light of the scripture that's been presented. And Lord, use this message to help make Blessed Hope Baptist Church a better church. And Lord, maybe a more patient church, maybe a little more long-suffering. And Lord, thank you for every single person that you've gifted to this assembly. And Lord, help us together to come together, to function together in unity. Help us to all do what God's gifted us to do for the work of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I didn't say much about this, but Lord, thank you for being the head of the body. The head of the body. Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus. And Lord, the honest truth is, without the head, all of us members are pretty helpless. And Lord, without a functioning brain and our willingness to listen to the impulses of Christ in our life, we're just not going to have much coordination. We're just not going to get much work done. But may we be Christ-controlled, every single one of us, Christ-controlled. We pray, please, in Jesus' name.